Hi there, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hi, Alana.
Hi there. Hi, David. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well. Now, we had a 1 week enforced break owing to my international jet traveling.
Yes, but, you were gallivanting.
Yeah. But we can't leave. Our viewers and our listeners without some hard truths that need to be spoken. And the ones we spoke about a couple of weeks ago seemed to go down particularly well.
Yes.
So, which is a pleasure.
But our Colonel Millie now is getting away with murder, not to go off on a tangent, but he's having a good time and nobody's challenging him, not least the Republicans.
No. Well, as you say, not to go off on one, but Millie's still very much in the news cycle, and I'm sure we may well return to him. But we've had an interesting week, Alana. It was one of these things, stories just bubble up all the time. You never know where they're going to come from. And the one, there's two stories, I guess, we're going to talk about, folks, in the next 30 minutes. And I hope you enjoy them. Really, it's a tale of two borders. Alana, I think.
Yes. Well put.
Yeah. One of which is the southern US border and the stuff that has allegedly been happening there. And the other one is, ironically, the southern UK border, which is our coast with the English Channel and all of that. So let's get into the meat of the matter, shall we? And by the way, if you do like this, if you like what we're saying, do make sure you hit the subscribe button, make sure you follow us, make sure you like it. That way we know you're sending us your love. That's what we need. We need from you folks, right? All right. So we'll start off with Matters American, because this is quite a remarkable story in the first instance, and I wanted to explore your response to it, which I think was equally remarkable. So if we can bring up the punchline to this one is really quite simple. Yes, apparently there were grim echoes of history in images of Haitians at the US-Mexico border. And this relates to, this is the photograph that went around the world before we discovered it was completely fictional and false, actually, but never mind that. Essentially, the media was selling us the story that these poor individuals, these poor refugees, who I think Alana had crossed 4 or 5 countries to get there. Yeah, right about that. They'd got to the US-Mexican border, and there's been a lot of outrage by the actions of US Border Patrol agents on horseback. And the big issue was really fundamentally, I suppose, Alana, these guys, were they using whips or were they using reins?
Yeah, David, that's the way the Republicans, forever compliant and forever obsequious, framed the matter. But that's not the way it should have been framed. Was it a whip or was it a rein? Who cares? If it was not a whip, it ought to have been a whip. And if the gentleman on horseback, the hero on horseback, used a rein as a whip, then hooray. So the Republicans, in my perspective, are always conceding the argument, always accepting, David, the terms of debate of the Democrats. So right away, they cower. They accept that the fact that deterring someone that is charging you, charging your horse, charging into your country is absolutely horrific. They accept the terms of debate that the Democrats lay out, and then they go and going, oh, well, it wasn't really a rein. He was using his rein. He's a horseman. You have to be an equestrian to gauge what's going on. Absolute nonsense. So to me, it's all about accepting the terms of debate. Now, if you have principled behavior, which is defending individual sovereignty and national sovereignty, never accept the terms of debate that is not legitimate a premise. So the problem to me lies more with the Republicans than with what's going on.
Well, you know, I completely agree, Alana. And you're right. If you allow them to set the criteria and the terms of discussion, you know, you're going to lose. You're never going to win. Our side needs to be much stronger and much more robust. And I mean, it's very much what you said. The scenes that were being pushed out by the media, and isn't it interesting that these scenes were being pushed out as Joe Biden's approval ratings were somehow approaching the center of this earth in terms of their, falling so low. Strange this story came about, and then they zoned right in on it. And then, there is the thing that I think we just bring up the, and it's by the by, Alana, it's completely, in a way, it's irrelevant, but it's worth pointing out that the guy who took the photograph, the photographer, and took a photograph, he says, he is saying that the Border Patrol agents, they weren't whipping the illegal immigrants. They weren't doing it, which is kind of a salient point because it means that the media as well is misrepresenting. But the most important thing for me was your article. Now, if we have your article, Alana, we can maybe bring this up because I want to talk about this in some depth. If we can just bring it, yeah. Well, first of all, as usual, the title is fantastic. In praise of the whip, to whip or to rein is not the question. And as you've mentioned, you've touched on, it's not, is it? It's a complete blooming diversion from the fact that if illegals are coming across the border, you've got an obligation to stop them by whichever means is available.
Yes, and as soon as you cower and accept that, look. The reality on the ground, something that Trump did change, and absolutely no doubt, he could not get away with changing the law. The law is, I might be wrong on the details, but basically anyone that approaches the border demands to be processed as a refugee fleeing from something or the other, has to be let in. Somehow the GOP has allowed the state of, I'm sure this is not the case, reading from the literature you've sent me, this is not the case with the UK. It's still an offence to cross the border illegally, but in the US, this is not the case. So certainly, you know, Trump changed matters. He didn't so much put up a wall, but he put up a bureaucratic wall, to speak, and he made it very uncomfortable to just rush the border. You had to be processed in Mexico. Mexico had sufficient incentives so as to make sure that people didn't come and camp on their side of the border. So, and of course, the processing in the Trump short era was glacial, absolutely glacial. So you had migrants on the other side complaining about the glacial, very slow process of applying. But now all those protections, bureaucratic protections, they were not fundamental changes in the immigration law that still allows this. This is what is allowed, which is different to in Britain. I don't think you are allowed to rush the border and lay claim. I don't believe you are allowed to do that. So, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, David, but this is the difference in our systems, and this has all been dismantled. So what we've seen is just an absolute flow of people, a tsunami of
it's huge, isn't it?
A human wave of, in fact, close on 2 million will have made entry this year alone. And I was reading your numbers are 17,000 so far, 100, and I'm rounding up. Yeah. And last year was about 8,500. Wow.
Adjusted
for population, how many in England? 60 million?
About, just under,
So it's about, what, five times? It's still minuscule. It's still very, very...
But just for clarity, none of them should be getting into the UK either. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about my views on that. But the thing is, Alana, see, here's one of the things that amazed me about this. We've seen essentially the Biden administration's border policy, which is not to have a border, working very effectively because, as you said, the numbers that we saw the footage of, these were huge numbers of people gathering to just stroll across the Rio Grande. I mean, they walked in. So So it wasn't very good optics for the Biden administration. And then all of a sudden, because of what I can see is a kind almost like a confected issue, we have Biden and Harris and the rest of them saying, oh, this is horrific. Oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. I'm not sure if it's as bad as 9/11, but it's probably really, really bad.
Oh, David, January 6th is a Democrat.
Gotcha. Yeah. Worse.
I don't want you getting confused here.
No. But don't you think it was interesting the way that this alleged act on behalf of the Border Patrol was turned into something which apparently wasn't? And even if it had been, as you point out in your article, that would be a good thing. And that's what Republicans should have been standing up and praising and supporting the border guards.
Yeah, Republicans just cannot argue. They're called the stupid party. I don't think that's relevant anymore, but certainly given the oodles of asininity and moronity, the idiocracy on the other side, but certainly a very, very weak, why aren't they? The Democrats are diabolically brilliant. They are carrying on, they are prosecuting the Trump administration nonstop on the networks. All we see is no border images. If Bill Malugin or Fox News had not gone to the border, there would be nothing happening. They discussed the enormous entitlement bill coming up down the pikes, but nothing about the news, nothing. It's all prosecuting. It's genius, prosecuting the Trump administration and working to malign us dissidents in a way that we are no longer legitimate voters, but racists, people that are unvaccinated, loathsome, mouth-breathing hillbillies, So this is the strategy of the Democratic, its legacy media as well. But the Republicans know how to keep nothing alive, no debate. Millie was wonderful. They didn't manage to latch on to a man who promised to give the whereabouts of his soldiers to the Chinese when he launched an offensive, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't latch on to that. Stupidly, they're latching on to the Afghanistan thing and wanting to bring in more of our wonderful allies, some of whom have already raped our loving soldier lady. Not funny, but so that's not a good topic for Republicans is the Afghanistan, but the border. Send Ted Cruz there to broadcast from there nonstop. He's a legal scholar. He would know how to make hay. To they are so lazy. They believe that when they get to Washington D.C., it's perks, a book deal, and going on Tucker Carlson.
I think you're right, because if I mean, we saw the Democrats, we saw AOC back in the day down at the border crying over the children in cages, Obama's cages.
Yes.
And we saw that. And as you say, if the Republicans had had anything about them, they all would have been down there absolutely milking the because it is, by any definition, Alana, it's the complete abrogation of your sovereignty on the southern border.
I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put this back at you. If the Republicans went down there knowing that they accept the terms of debate and argument of the Democrats, what case would they be making against Biden administration?
Well,
that's
right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
I
put it to you that they would not be making the case that there is no more America. When Ann Coulter said adios, this is goodbye. This is the tipping point reached. This is a spectacle so repulsive to the environment, to the border, to the dignity of the taxpayer. They wouldn't be making that. They would be concentrating on the children in cages, the women, violation of women. They would be accepting the terms of debate of the Democrats. They would not be arguing on our terms, sovereignty, individual and national, never.
Complete. Yeah, but the problem is, by not arguing in that, in a sense, they do forfeit the whole debate. And if you forfeit the debate, then, Alana, surely it is adios, America.
Yeah, I believe the tipping point is reached because, I was actually challenged on on Twitter saying, why are you people still talking about immigration? Well, I actually don't cover immigration any longer, except to speak about aspects of ethnocide and bring the experience from South Africa to, you know, the racial anti-whiteness that is becoming entrenched. But I don't believe immigration, the tipping point has been reached, you know, the...
I think you can't reverse it.
I think Trump might have been able to do something, but even then the numbers were
huge number. Yeah. We'll talk about the UK shortly, but the scale is different, and the essentially the demographic death of the US is being writ publicly.
Yeah.
And this is just a manifestation of it, really, what we see in the southern border, you know, because as you said, Alana, what, 2 million this year?
Well, close. I think they say 1.5, but they're always...
1.5, yeah.
But what about, not to be indelicate to our senses, what is the demographic situation in the UK? Because here we are celebrating the fact that, in fact, in my book, Into the Cannibals Pot, I point out that Clinton first celebrated the shift in to minority-majority status, whereby the native host population would no longer be a majority in the country. Clinton celebrated that in the 80s or the 70s. So when Tucker talks about replacement theory replacement ideology, or the fact that that's happening, the native population is being replaced, and this is a new thing, it's not. In my book, I cover Bill Clinton having rejoiced that this would happen. So I suspect that we are now, the host population is below 60% or 50%. 60%, yeah. I think. I'm not sure what the case is in the UK.
Yeah, it's better. It's about probably 80 to 85%. No, yeah. Overall, if you took London, it's under 50%.
So, but not over, not aggregate.
But not across the country.
So for you, there's still a fight to be had. And especially, David, what's so interesting, tell me about the difference between, we don't have a border, and there's always, as I said, the law is anyone can come there. That's why they say they're giving themselves into the all you hear from the migrants is complaints about the food, the lodgings, not having sleeping quarters. You do not hear anything else, because they know that they're very well schooled on American migration law, and are being told by relatives and community in the country that you present yourself, you say, I'm being persecuted. And as the Democrats, who know the terms of debate, keep reminding us, you have to be processed. So it's very interesting that those heroes on horses were pushing them back, so they don't get to the point of, here's an agent, I need to be processed as a victim, even though I'm a Chilean citizen, you know.
Yeah.
So what's the case? I think you have a different moral case. With you, the law is different.
Well, it's really quite interesting, because there are definite similarities, and there's a few, and there are some differences as well. But fundamentally, the issue is this, and it's therefore, I think we had, if we bring up actually the UK headline, which you can see, yeah. So as you say, the number of our tsunami isn't as big as your tsunami, but it has doubled in 2021. Mainly because I think the summer months have been quite mild. Here we have an example of the probably, I'm guessing, scientists, engineers, poets, all these wonderful people.
David, you're very ungrateful. I would say this is still desirable in terms of what you see on our borders in numbers and in presentability.
Well, debatable point, but the thing is, what happens is, Alana, with us, and this is this is where we have the same problem in a way. Once the illegal migrants come into the UK by boat, mostly by boat, And as we're seeing here, I mean, 669, which doesn't seem big by US standards, but it's significant enough by UK standards in one day. They came by boat. And the problem is those boats come across the English Channel from France. And once they are intercepted, which sometimes they are, by our lawful or by our border forces, they are then escorted to British beaches and landed. And those individuals are then essentially accepted as legit asylum seekers, in which case all the laws apply. They're given sanctuary, they're given accommodation, they're given warm food, and they know that. So there's a massive people smuggling operation operating across the English Channel, Alana. And what it means is...
I want to ask you, because in that very article, excellent article, it said the UK government vowed to make it unviable, and whereby the US government doesn't even discuss it being unviable. It's just a fait accompli. They are allowed in. The discussion in that article was still that it was unacceptable, and they use words like arrests and convictions. What is the deal with that?
Well, the deal is that it is, despite them saying it, it's rhetoric. It's absolutely hollow rhetoric. It's hollow rhetoric because if those vessels were turned around in mid-water, then we don't even have a problem. We don't have a problem.
But the Greeks are doing that, and the EU is up in arms when they do that.
Yeah, I know. But then Greece is one of the portals from which essentially lots of illegal migration passes through Greece, up into Italy, through France, and then ultimately, Alana, here into the UK. So my problem is that the government knows that the British people as a whole are not happy with this. One of the points about Brexit was that we took back control, and we haven't done it. We haven't done that.
What about the anti-refugee bill that I read about? You have such a thing. I'm just envious, David. I'm not being very gracious here. The grass is definitely greener.
The difficulty is that we still have organizations like the wicked Amnesty International who agitate for this continued tsunami. I mean, there's all the human rights activist organizations we've got, just like you've got as well. So they're always arguing in favor of bringing these people in. And the biggest problem is actually France, because the UK is paying the French, believe it or not, many millions of pounds to stop these refugees coming through. So what the French do is, Alana, the French go, thank you very much. And they take the money and they do nothing apart from direct them saying, because you can see from the borders of France to the Dover, the English, you can see right across. So it's a very busy, narrow stretch of water. But the issue for me is that in a way, we're in a better position than the US in a way. And all that's required is the political will to do that which must be done, and turn every boat around, except zero of these people. But we don't. And that's because politicians have been frightened, senseless, of being called racists. And therefore, in the back of that, we are having large amounts of people.
David, count your blessings, because in America, right is wrong. You know, the whole moral inversion is such that good is bad and bad is good and right is wrong and wrong is right. And at least in what I read there, there is an anti-refugee bill. The Home Secretary is viewed as tough. The activists are speaking not about, being more lenient, which is what the case. Trump reduced refugees to 15,000, most wonderful, from 80,000. This guy is just, there's no limit. Your activists are saying they want a legitimate channel for asylum, which means you don't quite have it yet. It's just unofficial. It's informal, what's happening in the UK. I don't know if you have an official asylum, because that's what the activists are complaining about.
Yeah.
And don't you hate it, David, when the that's another term of argument that we accept the poodles, the Republican poodles, the conservative poodles, your side just accept.
Yeah.
The migrants have risk death coming over. I mean, that's an utter non sequitur. I mean, because you risk death, does that mean you should be allowed in? I mean, it's an absolute, the conclusion doesn't follow from the premise. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to hang myself. Please give me Bill Gates' estate.
Yeah. Or does that mean I'm going to be a bank robber? If I go into that bank, someone could kill me. So you better let me do what I want.
It's the same argument. That's the same.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it's like it comes back to, I think when we started talking about this, the minute you accept their terms of argument, Alana, then you are defeated. So you should never, ever accept their terms of argument.
David, that's why conservatives are defeated. We are. And that's why there are dissidents like us and MAGA people and like Brexit people. But the conservative movement and the Republican, GOP, RIP. They have never shown any willingness to fight.
I completely agree. And our Conservative Party is exactly the same as the GOP. The most that they do is they issue press releases being ever so bellicose and ever so tough, and then they do nothing. And in Britain, you know, for us, Alana, whenever we voted to get out of the European Union and take back control of our borders, we expected that the politicians would do that. But yet, as that article, which we've been talking about, shows, the actual borders are getting more open, not less open. And actually, I don't know what you think about this, but I feel that the only way that we can solve our problem is if we put a ring of steel in the middle. It's not that big a bit of water, you know, the English Channel, it's not huge. Put a ring of steel, all military resources in there, and use all technology to make sure no boat actually crosses that ring. And would that not work in the US as well?
Dover is very busy shipping lane, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, but there's lots of technology. I mean, every vessel is tracked. There's a lot of technology. Now, these very small dinghies, Alana, they kind of, because they're so tiny, it's harder to identify them, you know. So, but look, unless where there's a will, there's a way. And the same applies in your southern border as well. The thing is, there's no will in the States that I can see.
But you see, you've got like a moat full of, it's very choppy. The sea's very choppy. Yeah. And do you remember that barge that sank? It was tragic. You and I are old enough to remember it. I think it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was hundreds of people died. I mean, those are choppy seas, so you have a natural barrier.
It's choppy seas, Alana, from here on in, from about September through to March, it's choppy. But in the summer months, which we've lived through, it's the waters become very calm. But I mean, I look upon the UK as, if you like, it's a big castle, and we've got our own moat. We're an island. For God's sake, if you can't defend an island, I mean, yes, you're not an island. We're an island. Why can't we defend ourselves? That's the question. And so, you know, so whether it's the fact that we refuse to defend our border, or in the US case, it seems to me that, as you say, we don't really talk about immigration, because broadly speaking, it's over, game over. And,
it really is. And it's sad, because, you know, the rush that we're seeing, I mean, this is going to, you are bringing in people who are not seeking a better life, forge a better life, are being asked, no pierced earrings. They are being asked to be given a better life. And, you know, I know that the other excuse that Republicans engage in, or poor arguments, are always saying, we love all immigration so long as it's legal, the legal and illegal distinction. But, you know, in terms of numbers, only now has the illegal problem, thanks to the Biden administration, been so prominent, but it really is the legal migration, which is predominantly from predominantly from China, India, and Third World, for some reason, thanks to immigration legislation in 1965. And, you know, we have family unification, which I don't think you have in England. Do you have one person can bring in a whole tribe or a whole village?
It's possible, but less common,
less common.
Yeah.
So have chain migration, and I think legal immigration is certainly, and so you have 2 million legal, or 2 or 3 legal migrants coming in. Plus, if you, the multiplier effect is the chain migration. So, the argument is totally lost. So I think we're wading into anti-politics. How do we forge communities, free communities? How do we fight tyranny? So on and so forth. You know, we're not debating living peacefully within the reality, the central state is forcing on us. And look, Texas has done nothing. Tucker Carlson is quite right to say that, you know, Texas could have made the claim that the federal government responsible for supervising sovereignty has failed. Therefore, Texas could have, I think they have 26,000 well-trained militia. They could have fortified the border and prevented this tragedy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. And before we wrap up, I just wanted to turn back to something you mentioned earlier. We'll finish in a second or two, but you know, as you said, the sort of people that are coming across that border, that US border, and we had the Biden administration saying, don't worry about it. We vetted everybody. We've checked everybody. Everything's going to be fine. And then we discover that, I think you referenced, Alana, there's been a case of a murder. I think a lady was murdered. Someone was raped by these kind of people. So as Trump rightly pointed out, they're not sending their best, but they're getting through. They're getting through. And does that not make, how do MAGA people feel about that?
You know, I don't think it's possible to vet. You can vet people coming from certain European countries. East Europe has bureaucracy and so on and so forth. But China, certainly you can vet China, people coming from China and India. You can certainly do that, which is the main source of legal immigration for the deep tech giants. But you cannot. The idea that this is another thing, the dumb Republicans' mouth, vet, how are you going to vet people from a third world country without a functioning bureaucracy? Yep. They don't know when they were born. You know, when my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather left Russia to migrate to South Africa, he had to approximate the date, the year he was born. You know, that was then in the early 1900s, but now in the third world, they don't keep records. There's no bureaucracy. There's no vaccination records. There's no criminal, way of finding out criminal records. That's another idiotic point by the Republicans. Vet them. We vetted the Afghans. Oh, no, we haven't.
No, we haven't. No. And we can't. And there's no chance of that. I think that the issue is both. It's most noted in the US, but it's a factor in the UK. Let's put it like that. It's a factor here as well, that the determination to defend national sovereignty, which should be fundamental, it's existential, should be core. It's gone missing. It's gone missing over quite a period of time. But I think the only thing we can say, Alana, is that whilst the politicians may lack the guts and the will to talk about it, we don't.
Nope.
So we will be here, folks, to try and put things to right and to talk the hard truths that the political elitists don't want to talk about. And a lot of the chattering classes, Alana, as well, they don't want to talk about them either, do they?
You complete my thoughts. Absolutely. I saw Dan Bongino on television say, oh, I love legal immigration. So not to know that legal immigration is certainly a problem if you want to address the the complex of problems that we've been discussing for decades, and immigration patriots have been doing that. And then he went on to tout the wonders of our immigration, our legal immigration process. Well, I'm a legal immigrant, and I'm still too injured and shocked at my process of being naturalized, of how pathetic it was to even write about it. In fact, I know that our producer wants us to wrap up. He's very strict, very talented man. But when I went for my exam, of course, I knew all the questions, and a gentleman was testing me. You have to get right 6 questions out of 100 in the US, and you can take your translator in. I saw Somali couples going in there with their Somali translators and lawyers.
Yeah.
So that the person could be giving you the answer to 6 questions about our constitution, our way of life, the American system, 400. So I sat there and was answering the questions, and the gentleman was very patriotic, and he was from my small suburb where I live. I said, "We can go on if you want to go on." He said, he hung his head so depressed. This is the first time I'm speaking about this. And said, "I can't test you for more than 6, but my colleague, his colleague, a woman, was already discussing the 2 people here. The other one was my husband. They're going to start enumerating the amendments to the Constitution." And everyone was very excited because there were only 2 people being tested that knew anything. So Dan Bongino, a nice and present and very smart, quite a good, he talks up the issues well. Even he said the process was wonderful and legit. No, it's not. It's a joke.
No, and that's a hard truth that we have to, I think, finish on. So, Alana, thanks very much for your time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for your patience.
No, you're always a pleasure.
With my stories.
I hope whether you've watched this, whether you've listened to this, the main thing is, as I said at the beginning, hit the subscribe button, follow the channels, follow Alana on her various social media platforms, and keep up with us as we continue to speak out the hard truths that others run away from. That's it for us from tonight, everybody. Everybody, good night.
Bye-bye.